you're listening to the Safe Food Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Safe Food Nutrition Podcast. I'm Dr. Aileen McGloin, Director of Marketing and Communications at Safe Food, the all-island agency promoting food safety and healthy eating. On this podcast, we talk about nutrition, issues like obesity, food poverty, sustainability, and health in the media. Today, we look at the importance of research and how it translates into practical resources and communications for the general public. This is an area I'm passionate about and have been involved with throughout my career. To talk about this, I'm joined by Dr. Charmaine McGowan, Scientific Officer at Safe Food, and dietitian Sarah Kyo, who runs Eat Well, a food and nutrition consultancy for the food industry and for the public. So welcome to you both. Charmaine, if you don't mind, I'll start with you. Can you explain to our listeners Safe Food's role in research?
Thank you, Aileen, very much, and lovely to join you and Sarah today. Safe Food has a very important role to play in research on the island of Ireland. We commission or fund a wide range of research, and this involves addressing gaps in knowledge related to food safety or food hygiene, nutrition and healthy eating. We want to have local knowledge that's relevant to the population on the island of Ireland, up-to-date information, and we use the outcomes from the research to inform policy and support others working in the area. It's really important underpinning for our communications with consumers. Really important too, to make sure that everything we do is credible and robust. Another very important aspect of the research programme that's run by Safe Food is to develop capacity on the island of Ireland and to promote collaboration between researchers on the island and further afield.
And you mentioned commissioning research, so it might be useful for our listeners to hear a little bit more about the process of commissioning Safe Food's research as well, if you don't mind.
Well, it's a wonderful thing to be able to say that we have a very active research programme in Safe Food, and that gives us the opportunity to select different research topics that address issues that are important, really, for the health and well-being of the population. That's what we're about. How we go about selecting new research projects, that is informed by conversations with partners, including government departments, keeping a tight eye on the published literature in public health nutrition, and data on the health of the population, which might steer us in a particular direction. Sometimes research is commissioned in response to a particular need or a new issue that arises or a particular request that comes in. We have in our portfolio on our website over 130 research projects that we've commissioned since the Safe Food was set up. It's a great achievement, really. And it's testament not only to those of our colleagues who administer all this work, but the researchers who deliver the goods for us to give us that important data and to help shape what we do.
And of course, the story doesn't end with the research report. This is where your team in nutrition and my team in communications begin to collaborate. So would you mind just describing the process of what happens once we receive a report into Safe Food and how it goes on then to become whatever output it is at the end?
Yes, well, we're all very familiar with the concept of a report gathering dust. So we've enough shelves covered with reports. We have a duty, I suppose, really, to make sure that we act on the recommendations for any report that comes in. That might involve sharing the findings with the public in the form of a press release or with policymakers. It involves also developing materials for campaigns or for particular audiences, and all the while cognizant that we want to encourage and support people at all ages and stages with food safety and healthy eating behaviours.
And I think, Charmaine, that a particularly interesting example of our work is the video series that we developed following our report, What Parents Think of Weaning. Can you talk through the journey from research to resource for that particular series of videos?
I'd be delighted. And that was a very nice piece of work that we commissioned a number of years ago. So this can take a little bit of time. But the starting point is we know that weaning babies from milk on a solely milk-based diet to introducing complementary foods. It can be a great experience for parents and caregivers, but it also can be a challenge. There are recommendations in terms of what time to wean, with what types of food to wean. And we know that parents have been doing this for a long time. So you might wonder why we're doing a research project on weaning. So the literature is, there's plenty of literature on parents' experiences, but we identified a gap in the literature in relation to what influences or shapes the practices of parents on the island of Ireland. We looked particularly or worked particularly with parents who are socially disadvantaged because it's important that our work address health inequalities. This aspect of the research was really well considered by the principal investigator, Dr. Colette Kelly from National University of Ireland in Galway. And Colette worked with collaborators from Queen's University in Belfast and University College Cork. So you asked what way we do the translation piece in relation to this work. So the first thing we need to understand is where people are coming from, what the barriers are, and what can facilitate a particular desired behavior. And this holds really no matter what the topic is, be it weaning or any other topic related to food safety or healthy eating. So the outcomes were from 19 focus groups held throughout the island of Ireland. Parents told the researchers that choosing baby foods can be challenging. Things like they're a bit worried. Is the food too lumpy? Is it too hard for the baby to digest? What about choking? Another really challenging issue was everybody knows or has an idea on what I should be doing. And that, again, is very commonplace. And it can be very good advice, as we all know, from reliable and unreliable sources. People giving us guidance on what to do. The challenge all the while that leaflets come through, but we might get them at a particular point in time. We might not read through them. They might be lost. We just might not be in the headspace to get information on a particular topic at a particular point in time. So parents said this was really a big part of the guidance in relation to weaning. And there is guidance from both the Public Health Agency in Northern Ireland and from the Health Service Executive. And health professionals do give out a lot of guidance to parents when they have new babies. But the opinions and the attitudes. One parent said they were really nervous about weaning. I put it off. I didn't know when to wean, what time of the day, how much pureeing I should do. I didn't know whether I should give the baby a bottle first before I started giving the food. Parents also told us that weaning can highlight feelings of guilt or inadequacy. I'm not sure what I'm doing here. Everybody else might know what they're doing. And also parents base their decisions on their own personal circumstances. So we had there really, really rich data from parents on the island of Ireland. And we set about using this. What are we going to do with this data? How are we going to act on it? There's guidance there already, and how do we complement that guidance from other partners on the island? So we commissioned these videos, which Sarah is going to speak about, that are really short and easily accessible. They demonstrate the practicalities as babies move through the different stages of weaning. And from watching the videos, I'm sure you'll agree that the style is very empathetic, because we know that parents really want to do their best. They want to nourish their families. And another really important aspect is parents want to follow guidelines. So I think the videos do this very well to support and enable parents. So that's the thing in a nutshell, from commissioning through to the findings through to what next step.
That's a great summary, Charmaine. Thank you. And you mentioned that Sarah stars in our video. So Sarah, if you don't mind, I'll come to you. And why do you think these kind of videos, like these kind of resources, like the videos, are particularly important?
Well, I think the videos are fantastic because they're so visual. And, you know, when you start to actually wean your own children and you're kind of, everyone is thinking, well, is it too thin? Is it too thick? What does it look like? Whereas the video actually shows you. And I think giving people that visual, they can be very reassured that actually they're on the right track. And I think, as Charmaine said, one of the things is parents going, well, when do I move into the lumpier food? And is it too lumpy? And are they going to choke? And, you know, and I think, you know, the idea that a lot of parents are terrified, and they are, of doing it or doing it wrong or getting confused. And I think the video is lovely because it gives people, I suppose, an expert kind of a voice in that it's coming from Safe Food. It's very reliable. You know, it cuts through a lot of the noise on weaning. And, you know, I would do a lot of talks and, you know, with parents on weaning. And, you know, some of the questions I'm asked, you think, where did you even hear some of that information? And no wonder you're terrified. So I think the videos are brilliant because they're also there at any time. You know, we talk about giving leaflets and you might put it down and you might lose it, but everyone has a phone in their hand. You know, they can go through, they can find the video. They go, right, I'm doing stage one today. What do I need to do? And plus the videos are short. They're straightforward and they really just, I think, communicate very well what we're trying to get across for parents. And I think more than anything else, it's reassurance because most parents do know what to do. I think they just doubt themselves. And I think our videos will give people the support to go, you know, actually, I've got this.
And I'm going to take you a step backwards, just to the origins, to the research itself. Why is this kind of research so important to you as a dietitian working in practice?
Well, I think one of the things is that, you know, I suppose I always think, I go back to having my own children. And I think, you know, when you're a first time parent and the whole thing is just like, what hit you? You know, and you're trying to handle nappies and sleep and all these different things. And then weaning comes along. And it was the one thing I could really confidently step into and go, I've got this, you know, with my background. And I just saw all my friends, you know, and having their babies at the same time. And it was, you know, I became the resource for them as well. And for me, it just took one huge amount of pressure off that I think other parents, you know, didn't have. But I think reports like the one that we have on, you know, how parents are feeding their babies or talking about weaning, lets us see what the gaps are. Because if we don't know what the gaps are, we don't know what we need to do to fill them. And I think the research, getting to know how parents feel, and I think there's so much judgment around it as well. I think parents face that in every aspect. And I think, as Charmaine said, like, everybody has an opinion on how to wean your baby. And, you know, most of them are grand. You know, I've come across very few that are actually, you know, dangerous or crazy or anything. But it's just for the parent to try and sift through all of that information. It's brilliant to have research that supports what we do, because, you know, we could all write leaflets, we could all make videos, but, you know, if that's not what parents need, it's a waste of our resources to do it, you know, and they're not going to be used. So I think we absolutely have to have the research to underpin whatever else we do. And it's fantastic for dietitians to have that information there, because then it guides us in our own practice. Those particular gaps, what we need to plug, mightn't be what we think. You know, if we know all about weaning, we're going, that's grand. But actually, it's very different for someone on the other side of it.
And Sarah, when you get resources like this that are so practical, what kind of impact then does that have on your work?
It just makes it easier because, you know, it depends on where and when you're talking. Like, if I'm standing in a room talking to parents, you know, I'm not necessarily going to have purees and different thicknesses with me and all the rest. So I think a video, particularly where someone can pause it and they can go and have a really good look and they can think, you know, where am I with all of this? They're fabulous. And it's great just to say to people, look, I can give you this information, but you're going to go home and you're going to forget half of it, because they will. But here's where you can go to get this resource. Here's Safe Food. They have these videos. They have this information. You know, this is your backup, you know, in a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks when you're doing it.
Just a question to you both now. Obviously, there are many important considerations when it comes to translating research into communications or resources for the public. But what, in your opinion, is the most important aspect?
I think there is so many. I think communicating with people in a way that they actually understand. I know when I was training as a dietitian, and I'm training a few students at the moment, and one of the funniest things is they have all this fantastic science and they've been writing all these lovely science papers. And then I'm saying to them, right, I want you to write this 10 points in healthy eating for, you know, the general consumer. And it's really just the language that comes out is, you know, it's so scientific, and you're like, you know, unless someone has a background in science, it's meaningless. So I think it's the translation into a language that everybody can understand, that it's simple words and simple phrases. And it's not a case of talking down to people at all, but, you know, every area has its own sort of language, its own, like, engineers will have their, you know, and it's just to actually make it something that people who haven't studied that area can actually understand without getting even more confused. And I think less is always more. The short, sharp, to the point. And that's what I love about these videos. They're just short, you know, it's not reams of information, but it gets the point across really well.
And the same question to you, Charmaine.
Well, indeed, keeping it sweet and simple is certainly something we all need to do better. And together with that, I think we have a responsibility, again, going back to the dusty report on the shelf, So making sure that the findings are brought to life or the translation is one really important to respond to the needs of everybody on the island. And getting back again to knowing what drives people's behaviours, you know, what makes them tick, what makes them behave in a particular way. What's the, there are barriers, are things that can help us along the way, are things that get in our way, and using the insights from the research so that we can develop those materials like the videos that are accessible and that can support people to get this done and get on to the next thing.
I couldn't agree more with both of you. Thank you so much. Well, thank you both for sharing your knowledge and experience with us. It's been great to hear the process of translation of research to communications brought to life so vividly. If you'd like to watch the videos discussed here, go to safefood.net and search weaning. Thanks to you, our listeners, for tuning in. Please do get in touch if there's something you'd like us to cover. Email us at info@safefood.net or message us on the usual channels. And if you want to hear more Safe Food podcasts, search Safe Food Podcasts wherever you get your podcasts. You can follow us on Twitter at Safe Food Network and LinkedIn. Until the next time then, goodbye and take care.